gospel around here. We arrived at the book of Philemon. Now, that's only a one-chapter book. Might be a little bit hard to find. It's okay to use your Bible index if you have trouble finding that. But turn to the book of Philemon. And to help you study, we count it a privilege to give you a Bible. Just raise your hand. The ushers will pass the Bible over to you if you need one. They also have pencils. If you want to keep notes, we encourage you to do that. So dig through there, find that relatively short but powerful book of Philemon as you get ready to dig in to that. As the Bibles are being passed out, just a couple of things to mention also. It's been some time ago that I asked you guys to be praying towards the fact that we're trying to see if we could purchase the ground here at the church. And boy, that's been an under consideration discussion for a long time, much prayer. And after much prayer, this last week a new offer was put towards the landowners, and got word this week that they have accepted our offer. And so we are in the process of moving into, praise God. We are very excited about the potential for just owning the facility here. Again, it's just all a vessel for God to use, but we believe He's taking us that way. And of course, as any real estate deal has in it, there are enough contingencies that if He chooses to close the door somewhere, He'll have opportunity to do that. But we believe He's in it and that He'll open those doors. And so just we're excited that the land purchase is finally going forward. And be praying, though, that those hurdles are overcome and we're able to do that and just move forward without that being a part of this, just that lease and all that stuff. So we're excited to see God move in that way. Secondly, just want to put I want to second what Tim is sharing about this harvest in the ranch opportunity coming up. I spoke to the pastor up there at the Horizon North, Pastor Bob Botsford. I emailed him, but let him know that we're really on board this and anything in the future that Harvest might want to do. And it's just such a great opportunity. Great opportunity. I mean, it sometimes might be hard for us to maybe find opportunities to serve the Lord or do a lot of evangelism and outreach and all, yet we know we're called to get the word out there. Here's a perfect opportunity to do so. Our part is just to maybe somehow invite somebody or encourage somebody or whatever it might be. So that's a week from tonight. We just encourage you to jump on board and let's go up there and be prayerful support for that time. Have you found Philemon yet? Again, it's relatively short, but it's powerful. Powerful. It's a one-chapter letter, but good stuff, good stuff. Well, before we look at our focus verses for this morning, allow me to take a moment and set the stage. Look at verse 1 here of Philemon. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Philemon is a leader in the church at Colossae. Now, Colossae was located in what we call modern-day Turkey. There's a group of believers there, and Philemon is one of the leaders in that fellowship. Now, in the opening verses of this letter, Paul goes on to thank God because he's heard of the love and the faith that Philemon has demonstrated towards the Lord and towards all the believers there at the local fellowship. Now, Philemon probably was a man of some wealth or position in his community because he had a slave. And that's where the next person in this comes in. His name is Onesimus. So we have Philemon, a prominent man there at the church who has a slave. And now we meet Onesimus. You see, Onesimus is a slave who belonged to Philemon. Now, apparently, Onesimus, the slave, stole something, and he had run away to Rome. While in Rome, through God's providence and all, Onesimus meets up with Paul, the apostle. And through the ministry of Paul, Paul leads Onesimus to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Well, Paul then sends Onesimus back to Philemon, appealing to Philemon to forgive and accept Onesimus as not just a slave, but now a brother in the Lord. So that's the picture. We have Philemon, a slave owner. Onesimus, the slave who had run away, comes to the Lord through Paul's ministry. Paul says, the right thing to do now is send you back, but I'm going to send you with this letter, the book we call Philemon. It's a letter interceding, pleading on behalf of Onesimus to his owner, his master, Philemon. So, slave owner, Philemon, a master, Philemon, a slave, Onesimus, and an intercessor pleading the one's case to the other. the heart of, or a big part of, Paul's intercession, his pleading to Philemon, verse 17 and 18. Let's look at it. If then you count me as a pardoner, receive him, asking Philemon to receive Onesimus. Receive him as you would me. See him as you see me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. An intercessor pleading on behalf of one who owes a debt and saying what? Put that on my account. And that's the title for our time together this morning. Put that on my account. Let's pray. Father, as we come now, already, Lord, we see and we know that you're reminding us and speaking to us of that fact that you have provided us an intercessor, one who goes before us and pleads our case, intercedes on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, as we come this morning, we come as those who we know right well, Lord, we fall short. We make our mistakes, our failures. Not only those things, Lord, that might be weighing us down, but Lord, we come with perhaps issues in our lives of relationships and health issues, financial issues, just the many things that also can just plague us. But thank you, Lord, that there's an intercessor. That there's one who, no matter what we bring in, no matter what's going on, one who does indeed take our circumstances and makes petition for us to you. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided that. I pray, Lord, now you'll help us. Because we do come as those who are in great need. But we also come as those who recognize in Jesus the need is met. So we're thanking you now. Now, Lord, speak to us. May you find our hearts ready to hear, ready to receive, and ready to respond now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's take a look at our text. First things first, we're going to talk about Onesimus, this slave. But I recognize that the name of Onesimus is not really a common name. Is there anybody named Onesimus here? Not typically a name we find in our culture. So right away, the name might kind of turn some people off. I mean, like, well, how can I relate to a guy named that? Well, let me encourage you. Let's go ahead and put a more modern name in here. Yeah, just reflecting on, I understand there are some pastors who actually do, from the pulpit, use people's names as they're speaking. I don't tend to do that. Now, I can't say I'll never do that. If God says to do it, I do it. But I don't tend to do that, do I? I mean, I don't tend to walk around and read, now, Susie, you know he's talking to you. Now, Pete, you know that this should convict you because I heard what you were doing last week. Or something like that. I don't do that. If I did that, you guys would be, you know, you'd be out of the door here in a hurry, I suspect. You know, oh no, he's going to call on me or something. So I don't tend to do that. Now, some of you probably can even handle that. I know you guys are hungry for the Lord's work and all, but I don't tend to do that. But you know what? I one reason I don't have to do it is because God does. He does it lovingly, but because he does love us, the Holy Spirit moves amongst us and does what? He taps us on the heart and says, now, Susie's talking to you. Now, by the way, if that's your name, I'm not picking on you. But he comes along and goes, now, Susie, I'm talking to you. Bill, that's for you now. And so he doesn't want us going, gee, I wish Bill or Susie could hear this. It's Lord, me. So put our names in here. Tell Onesimus, put our names in there. And here's how we're going to do that. First of all, there's a group of you that need to put your name in here because as of right now, you have not yet received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, maybe everybody here has done that, but statistics would indicate that there's perchance someone here who's not yet received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We welcome you, of course, to come. The Lord himself says, come, let us reason together. And we welcome you. Please know that. But don't just stop there. Lord, have you received his offer this morning? But I realize maybe as of yet you haven't. But still, I'd like you to put your name in there for Onesimus. You're someone who, you're considering the claims of Christ, but you haven't yet really received of him yet. And you know, if you were to put your name in there as someone who hasn't received of Jesus yet, it'd be a very good fit. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, what I'm saying here is everybody serves somebody. There's somebody or something that you live for, the driving influence of your life. And when it's all said and done, if it's not God, it's self, it's flesh. It's sin. It's just the way it is. Paul was writing to a group of believers in the city of Rome at one point. And as he was speaking of the change that a person goes through after they receive Jesus, he said this, "Knowing this, that our old man, that old nature, us before we received Jesus, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should," what? "No longer be slaves of sin." Now, maybe you've never heard of that expression, "I'm not a slave to anybody." Well, reality is, we are. That's what God's trying to teach us here. That if we haven't received Christ yet, sin is in the driver's seat. Flesh, our desires, they just are. We're all about us. And so, here he's addressing that issue. Now, consider this. Onesimus had rebelled from his rightful owner. Onesimus is a slave who said, "I won't have him rule over me." And he took off. "I want to do my own thing. I want to be in charge of my life." And off he went. Well, that automatically, of course, shows us that in the big picture is a picture of mankind. For mankind did that way back in the garden. God created man, but man said, "I won't have you rule over me." And mankind went his own way. And because of that, man spiritually died. And down through the ages, we see God calling man back. But basically, that's the first application here, is that it's a representative of what mankind himself has done. But don't just stop there. Don't just think of, well, that's people in general. But let's make it personal, because I said let's put our own names in here when it applies. Because if you haven't received Christ as Savior, you have been running. Just as mankind did from the very beginning, you have been doing that personally. You've been running from God. And what you think of as freedom right now really isn't. See, I used to think that I was free also. I'm the captain of my destiny, and I'm in charge of my life, and I'm going to do things my way and all. But what we don't see when we're in that place is we're not free at all. It wasn't until I was set free from me and from the influence of me in that regard that I saw what was going on. That flesh and sin and self, and ultimately the enemy of our souls through all that, was, right, you're going to serve somebody. And we serve ultimately the enemy and our flesh and all before we come to the Lord. And you know what? The slave had no right to expect anything but punishment. As Onesimus is sent back, Philemon has the legal right to do anything he wants about this. And he can do anything he wants to a slave. The government won't call him on it. They'll support it. Well, such is the case for the sinner outside of Christ. What do I mean? Well, our sin, our rebellion earned for us, says, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages are what you earn. And what our rebellion, our the sin in our lives, earned for us was spiritual death. So we have nothing in ourselves to commend ourselves to God. We have nothing that God should say, "Oh, well, you've earned my love and forgiveness." But the awesome thing is the verse doesn't stop there. He says, though we've earned death, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture to drive home this point that until you receive the Lord, you're a slave to sin, that sin's in the driver's seat. Now, this is going to be a little bit lengthy, it looks like, but it's good stuff. John 8, starting verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? We're not anybody's slave. What are you talking about?'" See, that's that natural response a person might have. "What are you talking about? I'm not a slave to anything, anybody." Well, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." The fact that you're doing that shows sin is in the driver's seat. "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." There's a freeing work that only God can do and only we can experience by receiving what Jesus did on the cross. Think of that passage I just read. I mean, is that awesome news or what? That we have one that if we'll come to the Lord through what Jesus did on the cross, we are set free. See, the question is, will you remain a slave today, a slave to sin, or will this be the day that you're set free in Jesus? You must personally receive of the work. It's not enough to simply say, well, I'm basically a good person. God will let me into heaven because my good outweighs the bad. We don't understand sin when we think that. One sin, and we're lost without something being done about it. It's not enough to say, well, I was born in America, or I was raised in a Christian home and all. Those aren't the deciding factors. It's what I do about the gospel. Now, picture this. Here you have Onesimus. He blew it. Sold something, ran away. In rebellion to his master. Now he's on his way back with a letter from Paul the Apostle with all the authority that that would carry and all. He's going back to his master with this letter that pleads his case, makes intercession for him with his master. Now, what would you say to him if he's walking along and he goes, you know, I'm basically a good person. Yeah, I blew it, but I've done a lot of good things around my master's house. You know what? I don't need this letter. Parchment. Or if he just tossed it and said, you know, I'm going to stand before my master on my own merit. I'm going to just go and, you know, he knows my intentions, and I'm sure he's going to think I'm basically a good guy and all. I don't need this intercession on my behalf. What would you say to him? You'd say, you don't want to do that, guy. Why would you do that? Here you have one who's going to make intercession for you, plead your case in a very effective and powerful way and all, and you're just going to toss it? We would say that's not a very smart decision. How much more sad for someone to try to stand before God on their own merit? See, to stand before God on your own merit is to tell him, God, you didn't need to put your son through all that, you know. Because I'm basically good enough to get here without any help. I don't need anybody to die for me. I can just be here on my own. Do you really want to tell God that he didn't have to cause his son to shed his blood on your behalf? Do you really want to say that he didn't have to put Jesus through all that? I don't think so. I know you don't want to try that one. How sad to toss away the intercession that he's made for you and try to stand there on your own. You know, Onesimus might have been able to pull it off with Philemon, but you won't be able to pull it off with God. You can be assured of that. You don't want to go that route. It'll get you nowhere good indeed. It'll get you an eternity separate from God. So the first person who's to put their name in, Onesimus' name, is you, if you haven't received Christ as Savior. And to avail yourself of the intercession, the intercessory work that Jesus did on the cross for you, that you might see heaven. Have you done that? You've got to personally do that. Husband, wife, mom, dad, we don't get in through someone else. We have to personally receive of. But it's available. What an awesome thing. I have one who intercedes for me with the Father. The second group of people that need to put their name in the place of Onesimus are these. Now remember the story here. See, in its context, Onesimus already belonged to his master. So another application here is one who belongs to a master but takes off on his own. Isn't that exactly the description of a prodigal son or daughter? Isn't that exactly the description of someone who's backslidden? Someone who says, well, yeah, I belong to him, but I still want to be in the driver's seat. I know better. I want my will. Maybe that's you today, if truth be told. Then God invites you to put your name in there in the place of Onesimus. Because for you, there's only one real way out. You know it. You'll never find what you're looking for out there. There's nothing but a pig pen in your future. That's just the way it is. At some point, you'll realize, I blew it. I want to come home. Well, there's one who waits, and you come through that intercessory work. As John told us, if we'll just confess our sins, the Lord's faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to forgive us and forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so it's available to us if we'll just come through our intercessor. Anybody glad there's an intercessor? I sure am. But maybe as of yet, you still say, well, no, I know the Lord. I've received Christ as Savior. And I'm not in active rebellion. I'm not really being a prodigal right now. So how would I put my name in there? Well, let's think about this application. See if you might fit as an Onesimus. Do we always obey our master? Even though you're not in active rebellion right now, can you say you 100% fully obey the master? Truth be told, we know. We oftentimes obey selectively. We fight him for the steering wheel of our lives very often. Truth be told, we rebel. We do things that flat out dishonor him. Perhaps you steal from him. What do you mean steal? God said Malachi, he accused them of stealing. They said, how do we steal? He says, you steal me with your tithes and your offerings. You don't give me what I've called you to give. Jesus said that if you think something in your heart, it's the same as doing it. If you thought of murdering that guy in terms of your heart and all, you've done it. If you thought of being with someone you shouldn't be in terms of adulterous thoughts and all, he says, then you've committed it. Just by their effect, you thought it in your heart. There's many ways we qualify as Onesimus. Martin Luther said, we are all Onesimi. And that's the case. See, that's the point here. And this morning, our names fit in here because we've all done that. But the awesome thing is, and consider the glorious point of it all, Paul pleads on behalf of Onesimus. And even as a believer, you're trying, but when you stumble, when you fall short, you're weak. Even though your intentions were good, the flesh was weak, or whatever it might be, there's an awesome thing here. There is one who pleads on our account. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him being Jesus here, since he, Jesus, always lives to make intercession for them. So the Son sits there beside the Father, and he pleads our case, so to speak. He makes intercession. What's he really saying? Remember the title of our time here today? Put that to my account. Put that one. He's mine. She's mine. Put that to my account. My blood pays for that. I paid for that. What an awesome thing that we have an intercessor like that. I wonder what Philemon will do with Onesimus. The text doesn't tell us what Philemon winds up doing. Want to hear something great? While we don't know what Philemon did, we don't have to wonder what God the Father will do. God's not mad at us, but something had to be done about sin. So he's the one who set this whole thing up, doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And we read in Ephesians, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved there, capital B, is Jesus. It's all been set up that as I come to Jesus, Jesus says, put his sin to my account. The Father then sees me in Jesus. Paul talks about that here. I want you to receive Onesimus, Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus just like you would receive me. And that's what Jesus does. Father, receive him just like me. See him through me. So we are accepted in the beloved. In him, not through our works, not good enough, not where you're born, but by receiving what he did in him. And then continually coming. Not saying, oh, I have no sin, but confessing them. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. But there's one more application before we wrap it up. And a very important one. These verses are most often approached in terms of their application to us, in terms of us being like Onesimus. And rightly so. That is a correct application. We've seen it already. There are like three different applications that might fit us because we're just like Onesimus. But for some here this morning, we are not only like Onesimus, but we need to put our names in the place of Philemon. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I can see where I've fallen or somebody needs the Lord. Even after they become the Lord, we fall. We need someone to intercede for us. But how are we like Philemon? Well, what is Philemon's situation here? Now, think of the master here. Think of Philemon. He's a person who had someone wrong him, sinned against him, committed something against him. You see where I'm going, huh? He sits there as someone who's had something done to him. Maybe you have had somebody do something to you. You've been wronged by someone. So you sit here, much like Philemon, and God now speaks to you. He's calling you to forgive the Onesimus in your life. You don't know what that Onesimus did to me. You don't know what I've been through. I don't, but God does. And he's calling you this morning to be like Philemon. He's pleading with you. On what basis does he plead with you? That the other person deserves it? It really wasn't any big deal? No, he wouldn't need forgiveness. What's his appeal? Paul's appeal to Philemon becomes the Lord's appeal to you. And what is that? Look at verse 19. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. The issue here is, I want you to forgive in light of what you've been forgiven of by me. They came to Jesus and they said, how many times do I have to forgive somebody who's wronged me? 7 times 7? Simeon, that's what he comes back with, 70 times 7. 7 times, he goes, I tell you, 70 times 7. And he goes on to tell them the story. The awesome story of a master who forgives a servant. A gigantic debt that the servant can never pay. But the master forgives that servant. The servant's going, yoo-hoo, free. This is good stuff. He goes outside, finds another servant that owes him a much, a piddly amount compared to what he owed the master. And he says, pay me, and the servant won't. And he won't forgive this other servant. Well, the master hears about it and calls him back and basically says, you miserable person, I forgave you all that debt, and you can't forgive somebody else? He doesn't say he doesn't owe you anything, because he did. He didn't say it's no big deal, because it might be. But that's not the pleading. That's not the basis of the intercession. No, what's the basis? I forgave you all that debt. See, I forgive others based on not what they've earned or deserve. I forgive somebody else based on what he's forgiven me of. Because before we are a Philemon, meaning someone has wronged us, we are Onesimus that needed forgiving. Always remember that. Jesus said that. You forgive others based on, well, what Jesus forgave me wasn't near what was done to me. Then you don't understand sin. You, like many of us maybe, we rank sin and we decide what's really bad. No, that's much worse than what I did. If you were the only one on earth, he still would have had to go to the cross to pay for what you did. And sin is sin. And now you get heaven. You get cleansing, forgiveness. You get him in your life, purpose and meaning. And again, you're headed for heaven. You know it. He says, now, based on that, you're headed to hell. And now you're going to heaven. Based on that, he goes, you can't forgive someone else? If you can't forgive someone, then guess who the prisoner is? Corrie Ten Boom. I read something. She's a well-known lady. Went through a lot during World War II, etc. But basically, after the war was over, she was preaching the gospel, going around sharing and all. And she ran into a prison guard who had been a big part of her suffering and a big part of her sister's death and all in the prison camps in World War II. Well, this guard had come to know the Lord and came up to her at a meeting and said, oh, I've accepted the Lord. Will you forgive me? And she saw him and she said, I went cold. She goes, this was a rough one. She said, but very mechanically, I just put on my hand because God tells me to do it. And I put on my hand and put it in his, she said. But the moment I did, she goes, it was like electricity running through me. And a warmth came over her. And she said it hit her. And I've read this a lot of times, but I read it again yesterday and it just struck me again. She said this statement. She said, what hit her was this. When you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, and you discover you're that prisoner. When you forgive, you discover in the end you set someone free, and that someone is you. And that's the idea here. Maybe you're a Philemon this morning, and someone's wronged you. And the Lord is interceding and saying, time to forgive. For your sake, to be set free from that thing. Quit laboring under and having that bitterness and all those things. And to recognize you're the one that can be and will be set free if you forgive. And again, the basis of it, what he's done. Lay that to my account, he said. And he says, not to mention that you owe me your life. See, apparently Philemon had come to the Lord through Paul's ministry. Now, Paul knew that it was the Lord who saved Philemon, but he's saying, hey, God used me in a sense, in a way here, you owe me your life. He goes, now, I'm not going to bring that up, although he did. But he basically said, I don't want to make a big deal. I'm not going to really make a big deal, but you do owe me your life. And the Lord could very well say, you know, you owe me your life. Now, can't you forgive someone else? And then look at verse 20 here. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. What's he talking about? The deep joy of seeing a believer forgive a brother or sister in the Lord. So, this morning, maybe you're a Philemon that you need to forgive someone. An Onesimus that needs to receive Christ as Savior. An Onesimus who you know the Lord, but you ran away. It's time to get back. An Onesimus that recognizes that in some way you've stolen. You're keeping part of you back. You are fighting for the steering wheel, whatever terminology we want to use. But somewhere in here, we all find ourselves. Verses 17 and 18. If then you count me as a partner, he says, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Think of it. Jesus stands there before the Father. Not that the Father's mad, but something had to be done about sin, about this stuff that gets in the way and all. Think about it. Jesus says, put that to my account. Unbeliever, the one who hasn't received Christ as Savior, I pray that this morning these verses, these truths will cause you to open your heart to Jesus today. Believer who has slid back, you're the prodigal, I pray these verses would cause you to return to your Master. It's not a heavy place. It's a place of rest and comfort and peace and all those things we find in Him. Believer who, you're holding back parts of you, there's something you know you need to let go of totally, I pray these verses would speak to you. Believer who needs to forgive somebody, may these truths show you how. In verse 19, think of it. The Lord's saying here, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention you, that you owe me even your own self besides. See, is that not a perfect picture of how the Master pleads with us to obey Him and do what His desires, His will? We owe Him our lives. We owe Him everything. How do we say, okay, Lord, that's awesome. Now, here you can have this part. To the degree we hold back, to the degree we rip ourselves off. Maybe you're this morning just someone who says, I need to quit withholding something. Either as a Philemon or an Onesimus, time to respond. And you know what? As you respond, as you give God all of you, you will never outgive God. Philemon, you're going to forgive. You're going to forgive Onesimus. Don't worry. You haven't done anywhere near what God did for you. There you have it. Now it's time to apply it. Before we rush out of here this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to do just that. A lot here for a little letter, huh? One chapter, but there's a whole lot. In fact, now we see what God put in our Bibles, why He kept it intact for us. Because it's not just a letter from one man to another, but it's from God to us. And again, we don't know what Philemon did about all this. But for this morning, the challenge becomes, what will you do, Onesimus? What will you do, Philemon? God has written you a letter. The question is, what will your reply be today? I encourage you to sit here for just a moment and apply it. Whatever you might fit in there, decide how you're going to respond to that. And do business with God as the worship team leads us in a song here. Do business with God. Now, we're not quite through yet, but we wanted to take a moment to do business with God. And wherever you fit in that, as I was sharing, as the Lord was speaking to you, if there's anything He laid His finger on, then respond to it. Yield. make that choice. Ask him to empower you to walk in that choice right now. So I encourage you to do so right where you're sitting. But in particular, if it would be helpful for you, as a sign of applying it, as an active choice of recognizing, yeah, I need to forgive somebody, or, yeah, I've wandered off and I need to get back, or maybe it's the first time receiving Christ as Savior, or maybe it's just, yeah, I, there's a part of me that, you know, I haven't been actively in rebellion or anything, but I've been kind of stealing from him in some areas here, or something, whatever it might be. If it would be meaningful for you, I want to pray directly for you. So during the song, come up front, just stand for a moment. When the song wraps up, I'd love to pray for you. If any of this applies to you, and if it would help you apply it by making a step forward to just kind of solidify that today I acted on this. Especially if you need to receive Christ as Savior, invite you up. But if any of this applies, again, I just need some help forgiving someone, or I want to give him all, or whatever it might represent to you. Come up and do that during this time. Father, we slow down because we don't want this to be an academic exercise. Instead, Lord, we're asking you to move upon our hearts. If it's in a chair, just one-on-one with you, so be it. But Lord, again, if there's somebody who needs to make that step, certainly to receive, but also maybe to come back or just surrender some part or whatever it might be, just to kind of stand before you seeking your help to forgive someone else, Lord, if it would be helpful, then nudge them and draw them up front that we might get prayer for that. But help us right now to apply, to act upon, to be doers of what you've shown us now, Lord. We ask you to move upon this place with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, those of you that come down front, first rings first. I suspect from, well, I don't want to assume anything. Are any of you up here because of your need to receive Christ as first-time Savior, as Savior for the first time? I suspect these aren't salvation times, but they are very, very important times. Of course, they represent a response to what you just heard. God knows what that represents. Whether you, in acknowledging that you fit somewhere in that Onesimus' case or Philemon's case, you've come forward, and it's my privilege to pray for you. In particular, ladies, I see you kneeling, but I'm going to ask if you ladies would come on over, because I want to kind of pray for us together here in a little circle. So, why don't you bring the group down here for a minute, and I just want to say a word of prayer. Why don't a couple of you ladies and men over here, come on, lay hands on these that have come up front here. Great. And I recognize God's working in all our midst, and awesome. He can work there too. But these have come forward particularly for prayer, and I offered it, and I want to make sure I follow through with that, because it's so important we do just that. Father, you are so awesome. Thank you. Thank you that you love us so much you sent your Son to die for us. And thank you that in that place of receiving, that you give us the intercessor, the one who pleads our case, the one who says, put it to my account. Lord, you know what each one down here has come forward, what it represents, what's going on. I don't need to know, Lord. It's the fact that you know is more than enough. But Lord, help them to really right now in their heart, to quietly in their own heart pray that prayer that only they can pray. In response to what you showed them, help them to surrender or let go or choose to obey in some area, whatever it might mean. Help them right now, Father, just to do that business with you, to really get that settled, Father. And Lord, help each of them, indeed all of us, as we hear Jesus saying, Father, put that to my account. Whatever has brought them down now, Lord, would you speak lovingly to each heart and help each one to hear, as Jesus says just that, Father, put that to my account. And then, Lord, flood each one with your peace and your forgiveness, your strength, your wisdom. Because, Lord, I recognize there's different decisions being made, different needs, but you know each one, and again, help them now by the power of the Holy Spirit to move forward, to act upon that which they have now moved forward on, Lord. Whether it's to go forgive somebody or whether it's to surrender a part or to come back or whatever it represents. Lord, I know all you're looking for is a willing, open heart. Help them to hear and then help them to obey in whatever it might be now, Lord. Because I know that's the place of blessing. I know is that awesome work you're going to do in and through each one. So, Lord, I pray for each one now. We lay hands on each one. We lift them to you. Thank you for that intercession. The intercessory work that's going on right now. Help them to receive of that and the peace and all that comes from it, Lord. Minister. May it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we all stand? For those that have come down front, or any of you, if you would like prayer this morning, there'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. We would count it a privilege to pray for you specifically in any area that you might need. Are you thankful for God's intercessory work? Are you thankful that God has provided an intercessor?
Yes.
There we go. Thank you. All right. Thank God for that. Well, we're about to close with a song declaring and thanking and worshiping, but don't let us stop there. Let's go out and live it. Go out and live it. Father, thank you, thank you. All of us, thank you that we have one. Father, sits at your side and pleads our case, Lord. Thank you that you love us and you've set this whole thing up. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to receive of that and rest in that and walk in and rejoice and to pass it on. Let people know that there is that place. Place of forgiveness and healing and hope and all. So we're just thanking you. Thank you for how you've set this whole thing up. May it all just be glory to you now. Thank you. From our hearts, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.